Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I want to thank you for taking time and checking out today's show. If this is your first time coming across the Pursuit of Manliness, I want to say welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. If you would, make sure you click subscribe. You'll never miss any of the 3 podcast episodes that come out each week. This is a Friday episode, and it is an Out in the Garage episode, which means it is sponsored by Dark Water Woodwork. DarkwaterKC.com. Visit DarkwaterKC.com, and you put in the coupon code EXODUS17 this week. EXODUS17, all capital letters, one word. When you purchase the Out in the Garage beard bundle, use that code. It lets Doug and I know that you listen to the show and that you're one to support Doug, but also that you're a listener to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. When you use that code, you'll save 15% off your order. Doug's got more than just Out in the Garage beard bundles, but he's got a lot of things there. I'm wearing one of his hats right now if you're watching this on YouTube, and I'm sure you are. Why would you not watch this on YouTube? This is a captivating YouTube channel. I was talking to a guy today, and he was describing his church. One of the words he said was charismatic, and I said, yeah, that is the word that people use to describe me, charismatic. I'm kidding. Hopefully you get that. But hey, visit thepursuitofmanliness.com too while you're out there just perusing websites. We have 2 things I want you to know about. One is tribe registration is currently open. It's open till towards the end of May. I believe it's May 27th. So for that guy that's going to email me on May 28th, I want you to know it's May 27th. The registration opens twice a year. This is a very unique community. It's a global community. It's not a class. It's not a study. It's not a program. It's none of those things. All the things that you think it is, I just want you to wipe that away. It is a community. It is a discipleship community of guys across the globe, literally across the globe. I don't know how many time zones we represent, moving the same direction. Now, we can't move that direction, or I should say, you won't move that direction if you don't engage. It's a community that you need to engage in. Just signing up or just telling your girlfriend or wife, you can only have one or the other, just telling them that you're in a men's group ain't going to do anything good for you. It's not, and in reality, it's not really just a men's group. It is an ongoing community. It's very fluid. You guys that are very busy, I hear from guys all the time who say, I'm just so busy. I work these crazy hours. We all are, man. I essentially have 2 full-time jobs. I have 3 kids, married, a lot of life going on. These guys in tribe have a lot of life going on. And because it's a very fluid community, whenever you can engage in it, for the most part, it works out pretty well. Now, if I said, hey, we got to meet at the church every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I wouldn't get you. Either you don't want to, or you're not in town, or whatever, something would come up. But this gives you a ton of flexibility. And again, it is unlike anything I've ever been a part of, and I believe anything you have been a part of. And the last thing is our fall men's retreat. Like Tribe, we have men from all over the globe coming to Indianapolis the last weekend of September. It's incredible what God has done through this retreat. I was telling an individual today that in June of the very first year we did it, I just said, all right, we're doing this. I'm tired of talking about it, thinking about it, dragging my feet. We did it. And goodness, 150 some guys showed up. And it's not about the numbers, it's about the brotherhood. It really is. And again, I think when you come to these things, and guys will say it all, I hear it all the time, they'll come to it, someone invited them or whatever, and they're like, that was just different. And I'm like, I know, it's not overly flashy, it's not overly programmed, it's $40, and you'll eat $40 worth of food before the weekend's over, I promise. We had some guys to my house last year on Thursday night, and I think they ate $40 worth of food before we got done with Thursday night. So nevertheless, I just want you to get here, man. So that's why the price is so low. I make nothing on getting you here. Everything all the registration is to either rent things for the event, to buy all the food, or the stuff that you get when you leave, okay, like a patch or whatever. We're not doing shirts this year, in case you're wondering, but all that stuff, if you do the math, it's probably about $75 worth of stuff that you get before it's over. But I'm not charging that because I just want you to get here. I just want you to be a part of it. Same way with Tribe. Guys will kind of push back because it's a Christian thing and there's money. Oh, we'll spend money on all kinds of things in this world, all kinds of secular things, but a Christian thing, hey. And I'll tell you right now, in 6 years, that price has not moved. That price has not moved. So all the things that have gone up, prices, expenses, same here, man. I'm not immune to it either, but I want to keep the price where it is because I think we're able to reach the guys that we need to reach. We're able to reach the guys who say, man, I can do that. $25 a month, that's a trip to Arby's. I just went to Raising Cane's today, and it was $25.74. So right there, 1 month's worth of Tribe, I just ate it. I didn't eat $25 worth of food, but nevertheless, I get sidetracked pretty easy. Exodus 17, this could be two podcasts. It really could, and it probably should, but that's not necessarily what we do here. I don't want to rush through this, but as always, I encourage you, when you get the chance, read it yourself. When you get the opportunity, read this yourself. Even if you've already read it, look at it again. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And when I read it, and when I look at it, and when I study it, it's amazing to me what the Holy Spirit reveals. I was going through 2 Thessalonians today, and we're in Tribe. We've read it a couple times, two or three times, and there was a particular verse in there. It just hit me, and I get out, you know, kind of a commentary. I shouldn't say kind of. It is a commentary, and looking up some stuff, and it's just. Probably spent 25 minutes or so, or maybe, I don't know, on one or two verses. That's what the Bible does. Read it. You got to read it. No shortcut to it. Water from the rock. All right, we've chronicled how Israel has complained a lot. Forgive me, since they got brought out of Egypt, and they complained about water, they complained about manna, they complained about Pharaoh chasing them, they complained that you brought us out here to die, you brought us out here because there were no graves for us in Egypt. They've complained, just irrational complaints. Well, the song goes on. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Now, I get it. I get you need water, okay? That's a basic human need. Water is pretty fundamental, like oxygen, to our existence. So you need water. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Now, let's stop there. Should they have asked Moses for, like, "Hey, this is a bad place to camp. There's no water here." Sure. Can you have a conversation with Moses? Sure. Does the scripture give you the image that that's what they're doing? Not at all. They quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink. You owe us water." Hey, man, I get it. I don't go very far. If you're watching, there's a water bottle. I don't go very far without one or two beverages. When I leave the house in the morning on a typical day, I'll have my thermos of coffee. I have another Stanley thermos of coffee. And I have this Nalgene water bottle filled with water. I'm going to have some things to drink throughout the day. That's just what I do it every single day. They said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" Now, he said this last time, remember? Remember when they were quarreling about food and they're mad and they're angry and they're getting irrational? He says, "Hey, listen, you're barking at me. You're really barking at the Lord." They didn't learn. Man, every pastor, ministry leader, elder, or whatever, listening to this podcast, wouldn't that be a great strategy? The next time someone pulls you aside after Sunday morning and says, "Can I speak with you?" And you go, "Oh, here we go again." Wouldn't it be great if you told them, "You're not complaining to me. You're complaining to God." Now, hopefully you understand, I'm not saying we shouldn't be upset about things. I'm not saying we shouldn't pull someone aside and say, "Hey, I need to talk with you." It's the approach. At least in my translation, I don't get any idea that anyone pulled Moses aside and said, "Listen, this is a really bad deal. We got littles here. We got no water, and our animals are going to die, and whatever we own is just not good." No, there are to the point where Moses replies back, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. Verse 3, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Yep, that's exactly what I was doing. You guys are really sharp. I'll tell you what. I didn't give you enough credit. I did not give you enough credit. I thought it would take you probably at least a few months before you realize that I was just fixing on bringing you out here to torture you in complete misery and wait till everyone dies. Now, they're going to play this card one too many times. If you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. There's a point where they're going to start, again, over-exaggerating when the spies come back, but not yet. Moses cries to the Lord, "What shall I do with the people? They are almost ready to stone me." You get the impression it's a hostile crowd. You get the impression these are probably not empty threats. I mean, people do get just stupid irrational. You see the viral videos where there's like a special sauce at a fast food place and they run out and like a fight breaks out. you see it, you know, at Christmas time when there was a hot toy or something, and people get in a fight and they're like physically fighting and over, you know, something, whatever the item is. You see that on roadways. You see that at basketball games. It's one of the reasons why I stopped coaching and reffing. It's not fun. It's just not fun. The kids are fun. The kids are fun. It's a blast. It was a blast to coach junior high. It was a blast to coach, you know, varsity sports. It was a blast to be involved in all different levels. The parents, no way. Nope. I mean, I watched it this year. I'd go to our varsity girls game, varsity boys game. Our varsity girls is not very good. Okay. They're just not very good. They're much improved. Much improved. But I would see people in the stands yelling at the referees. Now, you know, we have a referee shortage. I guess that didn't matter. It wasn't the coaches that were losing their mind. It wasn't the players that were losing their mind. It was some parents losing their mind. And I would sit there and think, I get it. I had a whole podcast about my kid losing a fourth grade basketball game. I didn't yell. I didn't do anything unchristian-like, at least not in public. I had to go take a minute. But I will be so embarrassed if I ever get tossed out of a basketball game or soccer match because I'm yelling at a referee because I can't zip my mouth to a referee. You talk about losing your witness quickly. And listen, I've witnessed it. I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen. I think, what are we doing? And we are a Christian school. We prayed before the game. For some of them, that was the last Christian thing they did. And again, it's not the coaches. It wasn't the players. It wasn't the administrators. It was parents. So when people get irrational, they get stupid. They start to think they have a right to act that way. And Moses says, they're to the point where they're fixing on stoning me here. And so the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. You're going to need some bodyguards. And take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. You would think that would be sufficient for them. We grumbled and complained. The water was bitter. Now we got water. We grumbled and complained. Now we got manna and quail. We grumbled and complained. Now we got water. I'm not sure we're not just creating a habit of grumbling and complaining and getting what I want. I remember being in an elders meeting many, many, many years ago, an elders meeting where an elder said, listen, we can give in on this issue. And there were some people that were upset about something that was going on. He said, we can give in on this issue. That's an easy thing to do. But do not fool yourself for a second to think this will be the end. If we fold on this, if we give them what they want on this, believe me, there will be more things that we're going to be right back in this room discussing and asking ourselves, are we ready to fold on this too? Because once you do it, it's really easy to continue to do it. Once you give in, it's really easy to give in. I do believe God was going to give them water. I do not think God was going to withhold water. Throughout the pages of Scripture, water is vital, right? Jesus described as living water. Like, water is essential. God's not withholding. I think what God's doing is waiting for them to ask. How about waiting for their character to be developed to the point that they understand how to ask, to have a conversation with Moses? Again, it's nothing wrong with asking things of your leaders. Never, if you're a leader, never get to the place where you are unapproachable, that you've gotten to this perch where people can't approach you and have a conversation with you. You're not a leader no more at that point. You're more of a dictator, and you should never be in that position. However, be mindful of who you're speaking with. I told someone today, I've had through the years some really hateful, evil things said to me and about me. I've been treated really poorly by some people who didn't give nothing to the church. They just took counseling, phone calls, whatever they wanted, whatever whim they decided they wanted. And you were supposed to just do it because they said, because they had a relative at the church, because of whatever. And I was thinking about this with Moses. I thought this to myself, like, you know what? If y'all really want this thing so bad, why don't you just do it? You hired me to be here. You hired me to be in that ministry. You hired me to be a part of that team. Why don't you just do it? If you obviously know better, and you obviously have very strong opinions about this, why did you not just do it? Because you have to lead people like yourself. That's why. And that's why people avoid leadership. And I was thinking about this before I hit record on this podcast. If there was ever an individual that did not want to be in the position they were in, it's Moses. He didn't want to go back to Egypt. He didn't want to lead the nation of Israel. God gave him Aaron, which that's going to be a real blessing. That's a problem as you go through this. Moses didn't want this. Moses wasn't seeking fame, attention. He wasn't looking for notoriety. He wasn't looking to have any of these things. He wasn't. He just wanted to be. You talk about a guy who wanted to live a quiet life. Spent 40 years being raised in Egypt. He said, I'm going to go take care of some flocks. Well, it wasn't that simple, but that's what he's doing for 40 years. He doesn't want to come back and do this. He wants to just be left alone. How many men out there can resonate with that idea? I just want to be left alone. I just want to serve God. I want to love people from a distance. I want to be faithful to what he's called me to. And I don't want to deal with that many people. Listen, man, Moses didn't want to do this. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a really good chance, and listen to what I'm saying here, at least consider it, there's a really good chance that your pastor is struggling right now. There's a chance. I'm just saying. I saw Kerry Newhoff post some George Barna numbers, and some of those I'm like, yeah, I resonate with that, or I've talked to friends about that. There's a really good chance if you got a pastor or that they're struggling to a degree. Probably in ways that you're not aware of because they think if I share it, then I look weak. Then I look like I'm incompetent. Then I look like I don't have faith in God or I don't believe the scriptures that I'm proclaiming. Man, I've walked that road. I'm walking bits and pieces of it right now. I'm telling you, there's a chance. And we go on here down to these people called the Amalekites. And they're going to come and fight with Israel. And the Amalekites, this is a really complicated and ongoing situation. They are essentially a nomadic tribe of people that are the first to attack the Israelites. And remember, they're going out in stages, so they're going to attack the weakest, the last, the slowest. It's like the Serengeti, right? They have this guerrilla tactics, if you will, and it angers God. And God even commands Saul to wipe out, exterminate the Amalekites. But he doesn't quite do it, does he? Which creates a different problem when you get into the book of Esther, because there's a guy named Haman who seemingly has a real grudge against the Jewish people. Where would that come from? His family line. His family line. So the Amalekites will at some point join forces with the Ammonites and the Moabites, and they're going to capture Jericho, and they're going to eventually join with the Midianites and the people of the east, and they're going to continue to harass Israel. They are essentially an evil coalition. And so here they come. They're going to come attack the nation of Israel. And so there's a bit of a fight. Moses said to Joshua, verse 9, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. This is the staff, remember, that's going with the jar of manna when we have the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 11, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. So obviously, arms getting tired. It's one of the first children's lessons I remember teaching, having a kid hold his arms up. How long could you do it? And boy, I thought I was really clever, you know. And so, verse 12, but Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him. We're going to get a seat. I'm standing over here. I'm leaning on a table. Like, why lean on a table? Well, my feet kill me. I'm wearing flip-flops. Probably shouldn't, because I have the worst feet in the history of the world. They're terrible. They're flat. They're terrible. And my kid's dealing with it. My son's dealing with it. I'm playing sports. I can wear cleats. Terrible. And I wear flip-flops because, well, I'm kind of lazy and they're easy to put on and off, but they kill my feet. And I'm standing on concrete right now as I'm doing this. And so I just lean on a table, which means eventually my arms start hurting. If you're watching this, you're like, man, that guy's barely hanging in there. Yep, that's true. And so they have something to sit down. I got seats here, but I just don't sit on it. It feels weird. While Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua, we're going to know more about Joshua before we're done with all this, overwhelmed Amalek and his people with a sword. The Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in the book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And you do not want to mess with the Almighty. You do not want to get in the way of the Almighty. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. So here's what we see. We see Israel, we see Moses, we see Joshua putting their ultimate trust in God. We see Aaron and Hur. And I want to touch on this. I said it just a moment ago, if there was ever an individual that was not seeking to be in a position of leadership, it was Moses. Moses didn't long for this. As a matter of fact, next Friday, we're going to talk about Exodus 18, episode 400 of the podcast. Can you believe it? Exodus 18, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible when it comes to leadership principles. You can read a lot of books. You can buy a lot of books. There's a lot of great conferences on leadership. I'm telling you right now, Exodus 18 might be all you need in many ways. And I'm not kidding. I have taught leadership teams on Exodus 18 for hours on end. And I'm telling you, if you can grab it, it can change a lot for you. But anyhow, the Lord is my banner. So here's Moses. He's holding up his hands. And when that staff is up, Israel's winning. Staff starts to lower. He starts to get tired. Uh-oh, fight ain't going their way. People are dying. We got some casualties. Aaron and Hur are lifting the hands back up. Man, there's a lot of theologians that will speculate on what this means and symbolism and things like that. And as I was looking at some notes and stuff, there's people that, you know, can contradict one another. And I'm not here to confuse. Again, I'll tell you, man, read this yourself. But I will say this, the obvious principle here is God's going to win. Don't miss that. Number two, God puts people in our life that we need to help us when we are weak. Now, we know in our weakness, he is strong, right? That's what Paul wrote. He said, hey, his strength is on full display when I'm willing to be weak. Well, when Moses was willing to be weak, he didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. God's strength was on full display because the people of Israel, they were winning. And these were people who had zero skill in fighting in any kind of battle. I don't know what kind of instant training they had. I don't know if it was just anger. I don't know if it was fight or flight. I don't know what happened. But we have no recollection. We have no record, I should say, no record of the Israelites at this point being trained to fight. They are brick makers. We can make babies and we can make bricks. That's what we're good at. So I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, they have, God overwhelms them with skills to fight, and they fight, do they? Because they fight a group of people who like to fight. As I said, you go throughout Scripture, the Amalekites, they are fighters. They love to fight, and they really love to fight with the Israelites. But then there's the Aaron and Hur. Okay, we're not going to get way into Aaron and Hur, but the point is we all need an Aaron and Hur. Every leader needs an Aaron and Hur. Now, not to get in their business, not to try to find juicy details, not to find gossip, but an Aaron and Hur say, man, how can I support you when maybe your arms are getting tired, when your mind's tired, when your feet hurt? How can I support you when Sunday's over? I mean, I got some people in my life like that, and I'll tell you what. What a stinking blessing they are. It's almost hard to comprehend. I got one in particular that will text me often after a Sunday and say, hey, good message, preacher. Always calls me preacher in the text. Good message, preacher. And he'll have some kind of thoughts or something they talk about as a family after the service and stuff. And it's hard to process that because I've been in ministry for 20-some years and I don't remember ever having that. What a blessing it is, man. I want you to be that for some. I want that you to be that for your guy, your pastor, whoever that is, your ministry leader. Whoever it is, the people you serve with, the teams you serve on, man, don't be the guy that's got to corner somebody, but be the guy that's saying, I'm willing to hold your arms up, I'm willing to hold your hands up when they're weak. And I guarantee Aaron and Hur, those two guys, I guarantee they were encouraging each other. You have to be, man. If you're standing there and you're looking down, you're like, oh, no, and you're watching this battle take place, and you're watching Moses, and you start to figure out, arms up, good, arms down, bad, arm up, down, whatever. You're like, come on, man, come on. You in a sense, without even saying any words, which men can be good at, can spur one another on. And that's what's taking place here. And not to belabor the point, but I'll touch on it one more time. This is not a guy who was seeking to be in this position. This was not a guy who wanted to be the great commander of the Israelite army. This was not a guy who said, I can't wait to storm the gates of the promised land so we can over... No, he wasn't looking for that at all. This is one of the most humble individuals ever who's going to have one of the most unique relationships with God that we see with anyone in Scripture. So, men, that's Exodus 17. I did not do it justice. It's loaded. There's a lot here. I do believe in dedicating at least a third of our podcast episodes to walking specifically through the Bible, and that's why we're doing this, as I said, Exodus 18, next Friday. But I want to encourage you in the meantime, man, check that out. Read that for yourself. Ask yourself, man, what would I do in that situation? What would I do when there isn't water? What would I do when maybe it's not water, but maybe it's something going against my kids, something going against my house? What do I do? How would I respond? What kind of conversations do I have with God or with people in leadership? And then look at you, say, hey, am I helping hold up the arms of people in leadership? And maybe if you're in leadership, say, God, send me an Aaron and a Her. Send me a couple people that will help hold my arms up when I'm tired, when I need to sit down for a minute. Who will be on my side? Who will support what we're trying to do? So, men, as always, I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you watching. If you would, share the show. I don't share this a lot. I feel like I'm going to share it right now. I wasn't going to share it at all. But since the middle of February, January, the podcast had the most downloads it's ever had. And since January, we have like half the downloads. And so what it appears to be is being throttled back when it comes to views and things of that nature. It's getting in front of the eyeballs. So if you don't subscribe, you're not going to see it as often as you would have seen it. So again, I'm not going to get into numbers. Numbers really don't matter. But at January of this year, we had the highest amount of downloads ever. And it was going that way for the last 5 or 6 years. And then half the downloads February, March, now we're into April. Now, how does that happen? Because there's more shares than ever. There's more growth in tribe, herd, pursuit of manliness. Like when you see life on life, there's more than ever. What it appears to be is being throttled back. And that does happen. They call it shadow ban and some other things. Hey, God will take care of it. But I want to encourage you, if we can do our part, share the show with who you can. Make sure you click subscribe. That's all we can do, man. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the community we get to be a part of. And let's keep together. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness. Amen. I'll talk to you in a bit.